Hello and welcome to the Record Celtic podcast. My name is Daniel Caw and I'm delighted to be joined via the miracle of telephonics by Record Sports Michael Gannon. Mick, you've headed off for sunnier climes, I understand.
Well, not that sunny, unfortunately. Slightly overcast. I'm in southern Spain, near Alicante. It's the same that Scotland used for the couple of Euros. On a kind of spying trip to keep an eye on Bodo Glimt ahead of the Europa Conference League game next month. So, yeah, I'm doing a little bit of reconnaissance ahead of the match.
It sounds like quite a good assignment, if you can get it.
I think
Bodo Glimt, they were playing, I think it was Dynamo Kiev, wasn't it?
They played Dynamo Kiev this morning, yeah, it's at Lafinka. Not a bad game actually, it's the first match back. This is Bodo's pre-season. They don't start the league campaign until April. So they've been brought back for pre-season early, ahead of the Celtic game, so they're pretty undercooked. It's a bit of a kind of role reversal, because obviously when Celtic play against teams from the kind of Scandinavian countries, usually it's all the way around, usually they're mid-season. And Celtic are the ones that are trying to get up for fitness at that stage. I think in the games against Rosenborg in recent years have been early for Celtic. So today, a fortune success is Bodo who are trying to catch up. And then, obviously, and there's a few new faces and there's a few players as well. So it's a quantity, really.
How did they look today? I mean, Kiev are always a decent outfit. You know, it must have been quite a stern test for them.
Yeah, I thought Bodo were good. I thought they'd probably have to win the game. To be honest with you, they'd probably have to win the game. We scored first from a corner kick, but Kiev keep up in the back of the net, actually. And we did flat. And they lost a goal from a corner kick not long after that. Typical kind of pre-season game, to be honest with you. But I thought they played quite well. You can see the way they play. The way they play, actually. Mm-hmm. They play a kind of 4-3-3, high-intensity, high-pressing a game. You can see them harassing the Kiev defenders. In fact, there's twice the big centre-half for Kiev turned around and moved the ball at the park, beat up a corner kick, and I thought that panic, who's been harassed so much. So it's kind of very similar to such a piece for tomorrow's newspaper. It looks a lot like Anibal, to be honest with you. It looks very much like Celtic's way of playing as well. So we're interesting kind of matching up the styles.
You would have thought that, I think it's a good point, obviously, that the fact that their season doesn't start till April, and that, I think that will have a kind of effect on the tie, but they'll fancy their chances, Bodo. I mean, hammered Roma in the group stages, we know, and they won't fear Celtic at all, will they?
I wouldn't have thought so. They're not really beating Roma 6-1. The only thing is that they have lost some players. The fact that Bodo have done so well in the last 18 months, 2 years, when they won the title in Norway 2 years in a row, came from nowhere really to win the title. Real surprise story, winning in the first place, and then pretty much when it wins, they come back and do it again the following year. A real success story, but what that means is that a lot of clubs are looking at the players. So they have lost quite a few of their star turns. Their main striker, both team, signed for Krasnodar for €5 million in January. They lost Patrick Berg, he went to Lens for €4.5 million. And obviously, Hibs signed Elias Melkerson, striker as well. Although I don't think he was one of the main men, in fairness. I think he was more of a kind of a finish kind of player. So they've lost some pretty serious players. But this happened last year as well. I think when they won the league the first time round, I think they lost two or three of their best players at that point. But they still continued to be able to recruit and bring players through the system. Again, so the manager seems to have found a winning formula. They're kind of a unique kind of club. They've got kind of their own way of doing things that's maybe not quite the same as the rest in Norway. They're big on analytics. They've got the kind of Bentham model of stats, like all their XGs and all that stuff, which is beyond me, unfortunately. They've got all this. They've got the certain things, targets, the percentage of players they've got to play for. I've got to come from the north of Norway and all that stuff. I think it's 35% of the team must at all times be for the north of Norway. So they've a very big identity from the region, from the Arctic Circle. So I think they're hardy boys up there. So they're a unique club. They're very dangerous, I think. Mm. So Aberdeen fans probably looked at the draw and thought, oh, it's a good draw, but I think it's actually a pretty tough draw for the league side.
If we kind of hypothetically make it that you were a Celtic scout today, would you fancy Celtic in the tie? I know I'm putting you in the spot with it.
I would purely because they've lost a lot of good players and it's early in the season. So I think Celtic would be heavy favourites. I think Celtic have got the kind of the players that can get a result. The Roma game was a bit of a freak. I know they got a result at the end of the game. But Roma, I think, had a big game. It was into Milan the weekend before they went to Norway. And I think they took the eye of the ball big time. Mm-hmm. And said that a kind of shadow team. And they paid the price. They won't do that. So I think we'll go all guns blazing. So I think they won't underestimate this team like Roma did. That's for sure. But I think Celtic have got enough to get past the two legs.
And well, I've got you, Mick. Huge win for Celtic at Tynecastle. Kind of, I had the feel of a game that could be defining come the end of the season. And I kind of think that, as we mentioned in previous, last week's podcast, Rio Hatate, again, will kind of take the headlines. I thought he was absolutely brilliant. But Matt O'Reilly, looks like another fantastic signing. And I think it's worth giving Giacomakis his props, because early in the season, it was difficult to see how he'd fit into Celtic style. But really gutsy, kind of never-say-die performance from him up front. It was really encouraging to watch.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Fantastic. It was a super finish. He worked really hard. I think I agree with you about Riley. I think you could see he's very much a kind of influential player, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He runs about all day. I thought he actually impressed.
I think for the money they've paid as well, it's kind of mind blowing in this market. You know, for Hatate and O'Reilly, what, 3 million? I mean, that seems crazy.
Yeah, it seems to have been covered a couple of. I mean, listen, that's money, first of all, but he's only after a couple of ones that looked as though they're going to be worth a fortune at some point, didn't they?
Aye.
I mean, Hatate right away just looks like it's got star quality. Mm-hmm. I need to see how O'Reilly. A longer period of time. And Giacomakis, I mean, I think a lot of weren't too convinced about him at the start. I mean, he really rotten it all up. He arrived, COVID, and then he's injured during the warm up, they missed a penalty and all this. Kind of thing. It's a whole lot of things went against him. I think a lot of people did it walk early.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe unfairly, but so that'd be huge for him last night getting that goal as well.
Yeah.
It just gets everyone on board and it just gives him a bit of confidence. He's a striker, isn't it? We know that it's like a fragile animal sometimes, aren't we? It's like an arm in the shoulder, like then again. Like they need to score goals, so if they're scoring goals, that'll be maybe feeling good.
Aye.
He actually looks like a new signing, doesn't he? Because he's like so little.
Aye.
So far, he looks like a new signing for Celtic. I love him,
And that's 2-2 after his goal against Alava as well. So I think he'll be flying this time. Before I let you get back to your sangria, Mick, I might not speak to you again before the Celtic's next two games, which again are just as huge as last night's. I'm going to put you in the spot again. And how do you see Dundee United and, of course, the big showdown against Rangers panning out?
I think Celtic have to get to that 50 points. I think it needs to get that victory. Because it's a psychological boost at one side and then the damage it can inflict on the other.
Mm-hmm.
I think they need to, and they haven't beaten Rangers for 2 years. More than 2 years.
That's mad.
I think Celtic is a must not lose for Celtic, but I think if they can get a result in that one, it'd be absolutely huge. I think that could be the catalyst for a real title tilt. Whether they get it or not, I think Rangers are a very strong side. I know they're showing signs of late of being a bit squad getting a bit more strain. Obviously, they're missing some key men. So they're not quite firing yet either, but I still think they've got a strong squad. But I think Celtic can get through that game. I don't think they'll lose the game, but it's a question of can they go and win it.
And I'll jump off the fence just to show that I'm not just putting you in the spot, Mick. I think they'll beat Dundee United, Celtic, and I think they will beat Rangers. I do agree with you in the sense that if they lose and it goes to 7 points, obviously it's still not insurmountable, but I just think that would be too big a gap against this Rangers team going into February. They're quite disciplined Rangers and I couldn't see a 7-point swing. But I do think Celtic will win. I think they'll win by a couple of goals and I think it'll be a classic. I think it's got the makings of one of the all-time great old fun games. Aye, absolutely. Mick, thanks very much for your time and safe travels home. Liam, as I was saying to Mick there, that game at Tynecastle definitely has the feeling of a match that come May, Celtic fans could be looking back at and going, that's when the pendulum swung a little bit, that Liam Boyce missed penalty. You know, that's worth talking about itself.
Because I think it was round about the Boyce penalty, either a couple of minutes before or a couple of minutes after, is when Rangers went 1-0 up.
Aye, that's right.
So, in some alternate parallel universe, you know, that penalty hits the inside of the post and goes right into the opposite corner and Hearts come away with a point and Rangers at the other side of the country come away with all three and it's you know, suddenly the picture looks a bit different with just one game to go before the derby. So it's massive, potentially. But I think it's just if you can isolate it, it's big for this Celtic team as a marker of their progress because I don't think, you know, Celtic fans will need no reminding of the last game at Tynecastle at the start of the season. You know, things were still a bit chaotic at that point. There was, you know, Odson Edouard was still playing that night, I believe. And, you know, the full expectation was that he was going to be off in a few days. You know, Kyogo was just in the door, almost literally just in the door, and they had to put him on the bench. And it was I think watching that game, you know, most people would have thought, well, you know, Celtic, they've got a long way to go here. This is a team that's got a long way to go. You know, because I know, like, obviously Hearts have been good this season, but that was, you know, getting beaten up. I know it's Hearts, but they're beating off a newly promoted team. So, you know, and I think it surprised everybody just how much they've progressed over the past few months. But then to go to Tynecastle last night against a Hearts team that are in great, great form. I know it was, you know, the result against Auchinleck, like, they're expected to win there. But they were impressive. They played well. They have been playing well. And to do it with, you know, a lot of, you know, no Callum McGregor.
Aye.
The team, you know, Kyogo, no injured, Dyson Maeda. Tom Rogic, you know, none of these guys, and the likes of O'Reilly coming in, debut, looked very assured, looks a threat, looks a talented player, and obviously Hatate, again, he looks like a superstar, and Giakoumakis now looks as if, you know, he's maybe starting to get a wee bit of momentum behind him. So I think in terms of Celtic's, you know, their progress as a team, that was a really big marker last night for them, I think. In terms of the wider title race, again, I'm always hesitant to, when it's this tight, you know, sometimes you can only identify these turning points in hindsight. So, but I mean, it could be potentially because it was a big result, and a big night when Rangers, you know, Rangers scraped through against Livingston and got the goal they were looking for. So, I mean, it's just bubbling all along so nicely for this game coming up a week. But obviously, I know they've still got another tough game before that. I don't want to get too ahead.
Well, I think you make a great point when you mention about O'Reilly. I got to the end of the game last night and I forgot about Callum McGregor. That's the biggest compliment I can pay him. Mm-hmm. I thought he was absolutely outstanding. As you say, looked a constant threat, creating chances. But not only that, his strength, and he looked like a big boy as well. Mm-hmm. I think he's only 22, but he looked like he'd been around the block.
He looks like he can handle himself, can't he?
Aye. And then, obviously, I know we've talked Hatate to death, but to get him and O'Reilly for $3 million mm-hmm. combined is just, I don't know, it feels like daylight robbery, but I know it's early days, mm-hmm. but it looks like brilliant bits of business.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's having guys that can step in and do what's required, because I think that was, you know, where Celtic have been hamstrung at points this season. You know, they were putting square pegs in round holes. They had key players missing at the worst possible times. And now I think it is such that, you know, the bench was maybe looking a wee bit, maybe threadbare last night. It was maybe getting back to that, but it's not. What they're putting on the pitch at the moment is still coming up with what's required. And as you say, you know, the boy O'Reilly, it was, we were talking last week, you know, we weren't going to kid on that, you know, any of us were experts on English League One and that we watched it all that regularly, but certainly, as you say, it's early days, but you know, it was an impressive debut, assured. You know, it's a hard game to come into when you're not, you know, particularly familiar with Scottish football. It's one of, I think, if you know you're looking at games outside of you know, against Rangers, you know, you'd probably pinpoint like Hearts away, Aberdeen away, Hibs away, possibly, as you know, the less than ideal games to come in and make your debut. Or, you know, the flip side of that is it's, you know, you get in and you get right in amongst the thick of it straight away, you get a taste for what it's like. But he just looked assured. He didn't look, you know, fazed by anything at O'Reilly, and as you say, he looked talented. He's a physical specimen as well. So there's just, you know, so many positives for Celtic last night, and I know it got a bit tense, a bit hairy towards the end of the second half, but you know, you go to these places, you do have to suffer for a wee bit if you're going to get a result.
I actually think, in a weird way, that the way that the game ended, Celtic kind of hanging on a bit and having to fight for every ball, is good for Celtic psychologically, because you mentioned the game, it was on the 31st of July when they last went to Tynecastle on the opening day of the season, and not only did they look threadbare in terms of numbers, but mentally they looked quite weak, Celtic. They looked like a team in the first
half. Yeah, it was a Scottish time winner for Hearts back then, wasn't it?
So, and you look back then, Scott Bain was in goals, Beaton was at centre-half, Sorrow was in midfield, and as you say, Edouard was up front, and Edouard didn't want to be there. So compare and contrast those, the two visits to Tynecastle, and I think Celtic have come on immeasurably. I think it's
that'll be a, you know, kind of riding out games like that, seeing it out. You know, that does wonders for, you know, unity in the dressing room. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk an awful lot about, and rightly so, about, you know, what Celtic do with the ball, and how they want to play. But you know, it sounds cliched, but I think if you want to win titles and trophies, you need to have that other side of it as well. And the kind of less clamorous side of it, you know, the less fun. Certainly not fun for fans to watch at times when you're clinging on to results like that. But in terms of dressing room unity, what it does for belief, it's hard to quantify. You know, you can't look at a stat on a page for coming through bits of that in games, but it will do a lot in the dressing room, and especially, you know, it's a collective effort at the moment, very much from Celtic, you know, with the amount of guys who are going away, obviously international duty guys getting out injured, so everybody's contributing, so it's got, you've got to think that's a happy dressing room at the moment, and there's a fair bit of momentum behind it as well.
Aye, definitely. Right, I think it's probably best for us to finish by looking ahead to the week coming. I don't think we'll have done another podcast by the time the two games have came and gone. So, Dundee United, with all due respect to them, they've won 1-6. They did win last night, a big win for them. But I think we're both agreed that Celtic at home will get past them.
Well, they're certainly heavy favourites. You know, it's like you say, Dundee United, they picked up a win last night, but not been in the best of form. So obviously it's one you'd expect Celtic to win, but it's one of those, you know, that again it comes down to like professionalism and you know, just seeing it through to next week against Rangers, because you know it would be such a, I was just talking about momentum there, so it would be such a momentum killer to have come away with a result at Tynecastle and then, you know, 0-0 at home to Dundee United or something. You know, so it's a different, it'll be a different test for, you know, these guys that are coming into the team. You know, I can't see Dundee United coming to Celtic Park and being expansive in any way. And Dan Coates is, you know, he's shown that he can line up a team to get a result. If I recall, they were very unlucky, I think, earlier on in the season. Dundee United, when they went to Ibrox,
you're right, right.
They played well on the day, and so he's, Dan Coates has certainly shown that he can set up a team to try and to grind out a result. It was a penalty that Rangers got that day, wasn't it? If I remember correctly, back in December, just before Christmas. It's a different type of challenge to Tynecastle, but one that you'd probably expect the form that they're in, Celtic to rise to.
And just finally, the big one, 2nd of February, next Wednesday. I think it's got the makings of one of the best games we've seen in years. I don't want to jinx it, but I just think the way Celtic are playing, the fact Rangers are still quite a disciplined team with players that could hurt Celtic as well. They've obviously signed Ahmed Diallo now, Rangers. I think this is going to be an absolute cracker.
Well, we certainly hope so. It's been a long time since we've had one of these games, you know, under the floodlights. Celtic Park always adds an extra bit of, a wee bit extra to the atmosphere. And as you say, it's massive in terms of the title race, but, you know, just as an individual game, it's fascinating. You know, Celtic really established themselves as an attacking force. In Rangers under Van Bronckhorst, there's an efficiency to them. You know, they didn't play well at Pittodrie the other week there. But you know, kind of up until now, they've been winning games comfortably before Christmas. I know they took a while for them to break down Livingston. But there is that they don't give much away. They're good at controlling games under Van Bronckhorst. They've obviously, styles changed a bit. And obviously Steven Gerrard and his coaching team did tend to get the better of these games in the past couple of years. So obviously Van Bronckhorst, it's not his first taste of the fixture, but it's his first as a manager. And Celtic will want to make up for losing at Ibrox earlier on in the season. They'll feel that this is their time to go and make a statement. I think they are the side with a bit more momentum behind them, just in terms of, you know, that result last night at Tynecastle, and in terms of the way they've been playing as well. You know, there's a real feel-good factor just for the entire month. I think it started at the beginning, bringing in the three players from Japan, Tate, Ediguchi and Maeda. And it's just kind of continued on from there. So obviously, you know, Celtic fans will be hoping that this is where it culminates, because they feel that they're going to feel that they're due a win in this fixture. You know, it's time for...
They haven't beat Rangers in over 2 years, which is...
Well, exactly. Was it the League Cup final? 2019? Right. That was the last time. And that feels like a lifetime ago.
Right.
It's no point we sitting here and trying to talk about how big these games are. You know, everybody knows everybody knows how much it means. And just in terms of an individual game, I think it'll be fascinating. You've got guys coming into it for the first time. Van Bronckhorst against Ange Postecoglou for the first time. And the fact that it's so tight at the top of the league as well. It's just not, as you say, it's got all the makings of a classic. So we'll probably be a 0-0.
I know after seeing all this.
I don't know who that, but probably a better result for Rangers, that, right enough. So
I know.
We'll see what happens.
Matt O'Reilly saying last night that he thought Tynecastle was crazy and it was a cauldron. He's got this round of corner. I think he'll see all.
I'm sure he'll be well prepared for it. He'll have been well warned about what's to come. But these guys, they'll take it in their stride. It'll be as you say, it'll be all Celtic fans. So it'll not be quite as hostile as what they experienced at Tynecastle. So you get the impression that there's certainly guys like Hatate. You feel like he's made for these fixtures. He's perpetual motion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He wants to play positively. He wants to play forward. He wants to make things happen. And he's one of those guys that you couldn't really see the likes of him being phased by this. To be honest, I think he's got the makings of a key man over the 90 minutes, and it's, as I said, just so much to look forward to.
I know. It can't come quick enough. Liam, it's been a pleasure as always.
Oh, always, mate. Thank you.
I should say, just before we go with it, for anyone listening, you can find us obviously on Facebook and at record_sport on Twitter and at dailyrecord_sport on Instagram. We will be back next week. Thanks for listening.